Praise God. June 27th, 1880, in Tuscumbia, Alabama, a little girl was born, a little over 100 years ago. And this little girl would one day become very famous. She would graduate from her university cum laude. She would be given several honorary degrees from other universities. She would author 13 books. She would travel extensively, giving hundreds of lectures. She would form and establish numerous committees for the benefit of disabled people. She helped to standardize Braille as the international language for blind people all over the world. She had a Broadway play and a Hollywood movie made about her childhood. I wonder if anybody has an idea who I might be talking about. Helen Keller, none other than Helen Keller. At the age of 19 months, she was afflicted with a disease. They called it back then congestion of the stomach and the brain. They speculate now that it was possibly scarlet fever, which just enraged her temperature. She was just overwhelmed by fever and sickness. The way she described it, actually before that time, she had all kinds of memories of sights and sounds from before that fever hit. She could remember as early as prior to 19 months, images and smells and sounds from springtime specifically, and then images and smells and sounds from summertime and from the fall, various colors of fall and things of that nature. And then this fever struck, and the way she described it, it just gradually began to overwhelm her until her eyes themselves burned and hurt so bad that she could no longer look at the lamp in her room. And so she would turn her face in the throes of this fever. She would turn her face towards the bedroom corner because the simple lamp in her room burned her eyes so bad because they were already felt like they were on fire. And even though as time went by, the lamp grew dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, she just had to bury her face away from the light. And as the light grew dimmer and dimmer, the sounds in her ears grew dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until she could not see or hear anything at all. The doctors thought that she was going to die. And her family prayed and prayed, and they were delighted when eventually she did live. And they didn't even realize at first that she had lost her sight and her hearing. And then eventually that became apparent. But you know, when I think about this, I've thought about her. I'm sure you guys have thought about her on many occasions. Trying to imagine that. I mean, to be blind is almost unimaginable as it is. And to be deaf, or to be deaf, again, is just such a tragedy. I can't imagine, you know, what I would be missing, to be blind or to be deaf. But imagine to be both blind and deaf at the same time. To know that you will never, ever see color again in your life. No more blues or navies, or pink, or orange, or red, bright greens, or different gradient spectrums of color as they fade from one into another. Especially out here on the Eastern Shore, you can be driving down the road and be absolutely captivated by a sunset or a sunrise because the sky itself seems to burn with purple and orange fire and have blue shimmers of ice going across the clouds. It's breathtaking. And to think you will never again in this life behold that sight. To think that you will never again know what it's like to look into somebody's eyes and see their soul reflected in that vision. To know that you will never hear the cry of a little child or the delight of a little child when something wonderful happens to them and they can't even contain themselves and they begin to jump up and down and squeal with delight. That will never cross your ears again forever. Music? Gone. the written word, to look at a page. Television, I mean, they didn't have television then, but what about now? I mean, it's for all practical purposes just become an empty box, something to trip on or stumble into. That's all it is. Internet, forget about it. Cell phones, throw it out. I can't even imagine. The way Helen Keller described it, she says, if you can imagine being at sea on a ship and a dense fog just suddenly buries the ship in the sea so that you can't see anything even on the ship, much less where the ship is going. And as the ship is coming into the harbor, you know, on a ship they have soundings they can take. They can kind of estimate, for all you nautical people, you know about how to do these things, I guess. They can estimate the depth of the water, how it's gradually decreasing, and kind of get an idea between a compass and the soundings you're taking, how close you're getting to the harbor. But even then, if you can't see, I mean, you're sailing blind, and the anticipation of catastrophe is overwhelming. She said it's like being on that ship, only not having a compass and not having soundings, and simply going through thick, intense fog, waiting on the tip of your toes for the ultimate, for the inevitable crash to happen. She said, it's like being there and just crying out the cry of her heart. She said, I was without compass or sounding line and had no way of knowing how near the harbor was. And light, give me light, was the wordless cry of my soul. I was reading her autobiography this weekend, and the editor who compiled her book and put it together, The Story of My Life, he himself was blind, and this is what he said about Helen. He said, imagine being a child, living in a world in which you can see and hear nothing. Invisible hands grab at you, poke you, and prod you, hold you back or push you in different directions. You have no idea where you're going or what awaits you at the end. A flight of stairs? A bath, a garden. Worse, you're well aware that things are going on around you, that people are communicating with each other in some way, but you don't know how or why or about what. Not only are you not in on it, there's no way you can be in on it. It's the commonplace stuff of nightmares. Helen Keller herself said this, that as a child, she said, I stood between two persons who were conversing and touched their lips. I could not understand and was vexed. I moved my lips and gesticulated frantically without results. This made me so angry at times that I kicked and screamed until I was exhausted. Helen Keller lived in a world of complete and utter darkness. No sight, no sound. No sense of depth perception. Until the day that Annie Sullivan came into her life. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you know, people like you and I who have our sight and our hearing intact, although my sight is not what it used to be, and Missy swears my hearing is not so intact either. I have a feeling she's probably right. People like us, though, even with our senses, there are people that Helen Keller is the rare exception. You don't see that very often. But people like you and I cover this planet who have sight and hearing, but who are nevertheless spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and spiritually live in complete and utter darkness. Alienated from the life of God, cut off from the truth of God, they stumble, they grope about, looking for direction, looking for truth, something that they can say, I know this to be true, no matter what else changes in my life, even when life swirls about me like a hurricane, I can stand on this. They have no such foundation. and they are blown about, tossed to and fro, whirled and hurled around, and they grope about for meaning and purpose and direction and truth, and they come up empty-handed, and they walk in darkness, and the cry of their soul, like Helen Keller cried out as a child, light, give me light. And they try to choke out the pain or drown it out or desensitize it in some destructive way, either drinking off the pain or smoking off the pain or going from relationship to relationship, trying to numb the pain. And they know that something is wrong. They'll laugh and party and carry on and have a good time. But you get them down in the quiet hours of 3 o'clock in the morning when their soul has kept them awake and they cannot sleep, and they will tell you something is desperately wrong and something desperately needs to be fixed. But they don't know what it is, and they don't know how to fix it, and they don't even begin to know where to start because they are utterly blind and utterly in darkness.